Kia ora, I'm Martin.
Kia ora, I'm Nicola, and we're both from Repairs here to talk about our new album, Disappointing Sequel. Necessity.
Repeat, Repeat, the first Repairs album, came out back in 2020. What do you think are the biggest changes to the group since then? And did you have any new approaches to the new album, Disappointing Sequel?
I think probably the biggest change is being a little bit more confident in intent and sort of knowing what it is that we want to do and being a little bit better equipped to make the required decisions to get that outcome, because the first one, it was very much a learning experience, I think, for all of us, like in terms of putting together an album, but also for me it was, you know, simple things like how microphones work and how mixing works and very basic stuff, whereas, you know, 4 years later almost it's, you know, we're just a little bit older heads, a little bit more chill and more intentional.
I think the first album was a set of songs we'd kind of written and played quite a lot, and so the songs were pretty much set in stone more than in this album. This album we were definitely able to play around with song structure and lyrics a lot more.
Yeah, and I think we found in the intervening years as well, we found what works for us as individuals, as, you know, as both musicians playing live or being in the studio where we're most comfortable, and try to make it fun and easy to do.
Were there any notable intentions, or did you have any goals that you wanted to do that you hadn't tried out on the first album?
I did myself, and James and Fee had some things as well, mostly that Gus had to feature on the album. They now have another Swedish Valhund called Peaches, who doesn't feature on the album, but I'm sure will feature on the next release. and for me, it was more just a few different engineering type things that I wanted, you know, like record the drums in a bigger room so I can have room mics and have a bigger interface so I can have a stupid number of microphones on the drums and things like that. I think we had more time to do stuff like that.
I did find a lot more freedom in trying to do different melodies, because we were kind of like had the ability to go back and re-record stuff. So having an idea of like, oh, try these lyrics and then go and record them and then listen back and go, oh, actually, no, that's not working, and try something else. I had a lot more freedom to do that this time around. Old faces in the crowd. Girls that walk these streets. Both dramatically unfamiliar.
We tried for a fair bit to start recording, and it's probably the same story as a lot of people have, just life gets in the way of stuff. Yeah, we did quite a few different demo sessions, but I think originally we were planning to hire a batch somewhere, middle of nowhere, take a bunch of gear up and then spend a week with Gus, James and Fee's dog, and James and Fee and me and Nick, and just make an album. They ended up moving up quite far up north. Yeah, we just never got that. It was never going to be that kind of easy, so we sort of had to be pragmatic about how we went about it. We recorded at the Vault, which is now sadly gone, because we did, like, our first record was done at our practice room, which was a tiny, like, 2 meter by 2 meter box. We lost that got some flooding damage, and then during some of the COVID years we tried to like record stuff in our bedroom, but our house isn't really airtight, and so yeah, we ended up booking the Vault and getting Kiara from Deb 5000 Halftime to record the drums, which was really, really helpful as someone who normally has to do it all myself. Having someone else who knows more than me do it was really great. After we did the drums, we sort of took our time going back and forth, just doing sessions wherever and whenever we could with all the other kind of things.
Yeah, we're really lucky because the vault's really close to where we live as well, so we could kind of, you know, at the last minute book in a spot there, and it was no hassle at all to get up there.
When we recorded Repeat Repeat, we had a song written that became the intro song, pop song, and then we had a song that evolved out of like the same rhythm and the same idea as the outro, and I really liked that bookend thing. Pretty much since then, I had in my mind an idea of what the opening of our next album would sound like. It was one of those vague ideas that you can't quite put your fingers on and grab hold of, but like it was there. We tried a few times to write a song like that would also maybe be the opening song in a set, and it never quite happened. So eventually what I did was I forced James to play a drum beat unheard, like he hadn't heard the riff, on the spot, and just like play this, and he did. And then I cut it together, so there's a lot more on this track. There's a lot more like 808 samples in it, and a lot of the guitar parts are actually like samples from old demos we'd recorded that were sort of just played like on a sampler rather than on guitar. Yeah, there's a lot of guitar layers as well.
There's a lot going on in that song.
Yeah, but it came together really nicely, and that it was like, oh, that's the idea that I had for an opening song. This one was one of the singles that we put out recently, and we did a music video for it as well that we filmed with our friends Will and Leah. It's one that we've played live quite a few times already, so it's kind of one of the songs on the album that was pretty much fully formed. Yeah, it was all written. The only thing specific to recording, I guess, was like I got to go into it with an idea of like, well, we know the song, we know how it works, this is how I want to kind of produce it in terms of how we're going to record it. The outro section in particular, I want it to be very lo-fi, and so we tried recording that with just like a single SM58. There's a thing I saw online of like the recording of Back to Black, like similar stuff, that kind of style of drums. Didn't quite get it for that, so we ended up kind of doing combination, but then I just absolutely smashed everything through a tape machine for the outro, like really, really abused a tape machine. Been here before.
So that one kind of came out of a bass riff that I had and brought to the practice room, and James started playing this kind of like syncopated drum beat too. And we had the instrumental. It took quite a while to get right. Like, I think we tried a few iterations and had a few kind of structural changes, and then the lyrics were the last thing to kind of fall into place. And that also took us quite a while to figure out how to get rhythmically sing something over that rhythm. It's actually really quite hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the tracks that benefited from multiple demoing sessions prior to. So it's like it was always there as an idea for a song, but I don't think we played it in this iteration until the actual recording session. So we had to learn how to play it live afterwards. It's basically you yelling.
It is me yelling, yeah, being quite angry.
You getting all your anger out.
And it's, I guess it's, you know, at the time it was kind of more UK focused, but I guess in this current environment, equally applicable. But it was very much around public figures in government. And
yeah, expressing displeasure at Tories everywhere.
Exactly, exactly.
And it kind of put all the lyrics and kind of vibe to it, and I think from me and James we just sort of followed along, and I also had bought a new pedal when we wrote it, so that's why it's got the weird noises.
Yes!
The Slow Burn is one that we actually had written various versions of this song as well. It actually was Slow Burner because it was kind of the same song as Doom Scrolling originally. It's very different now. I don't even think any of the riffs are still the same from its early version, but there's a couple of kind of bass riffs that I guess Nick and James sort of have a little bit of a library of cool rhythms and riffs that they kind of keep in their back pocket, and that was one of those that we just never really turned into a full song, but we recorded it anyway, and then I thought, well, let's do the song that we promised James and Fee for Gus. So we were around visiting them, and we had just spent a bunch of time recording Gus as he made various noises. They have a pond on their property that is full of really gross, like smelly algae and weeds and yuck. And anytime they go out there up in that area with Gus, they have to keep him on a lead. I think James had jumped in a kayak to get across and do something on the other side of the pond, and Gus was just very keen to get into this dirty water. So a lot of the whining on that track is because he wasn't very pleased that he couldn't jump in and go after his dad. Yeah, there's also I think someone got James one of those toy drum kits for a present one time that you push the buttons, and the outro of that song is me playing the toy drum kit. And then when we were reviewing the mixes, James and Fee played it, and Gus recognized it, recognized himself, and gave it the seal of approval. So that was awesome.
Behind Lilas, the title is I went to see the Breeders at the power station, was it 2018? Unfortunately, I had an accident. I passed out and ended up being in A&E that evening and missed the entire show. And James and Fee somehow managed to get a letter or a message to the Breeders, and they sent me a care package, which included a handwritten note from Kim Deal that was signed Lilas. And
with the drawing of Nick
with a drawing
lying
of
on
me,
the power station floor with blood all over her face.
Saying, hope you feel better soon. And I didn't know what Lilas meant for ages, and then I finally Googled it, and it's Love You Like a Sister. So that's the inspiration behind the title. And the song itself is probably the closest to a Breeders style song that we will write. And I think it's very much like the lyrics are probably how I feel a lot of the time about being a musician, that kind of sense of being like very much imposter syndrome and feeling like you belong.
Doomscrolling's another one that was kind of around in the set list for a little while. And again, just kind of like my version of Nick's approach to Auto Icon. That was my one of just expressing my anger at a lot of the sentiments that we see, a lot of the discourse around, especially politically at the moment. But yeah, that was just, I think, just getting my anger out. It's got your favourite line as well, yep. Which I think is the punching down is not a rebellious act.
It's a great line.
Yeah. Travel is a track that, well, we actually recorded a version of it for the first record, and we had versions going back even before that. It's kind of, I think, one of those bass drum patterns that Nick and James used to kind of default to and always have available to kind of jam on and play around with. But yeah, we recorded it, but we just never kind of got it quite right. I don't think we've played it live. I don't think we ever got it as a song finished, but somehow in that recording session we got it in a place that it was like, that's it. That's the arrangement. And then it kind of existed. So it's yeah, like the song itself's been there, but that specific arrangement is probably on the day.
Because when we originally recorded it with just the drums and the bass line was originally an octave higher, and I think you were really struggling with finding guitar parts or trying to make it sound the way that you wanted it to sound with that bass line. And then it was like, well, why don't we actually make it an octave lower? And then it kind of all seemed to fall in place after that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was your idea to put it last.
Maybe. don't hold me to that.
But yeah, this one is a song that we play live now, but it was completely written on the day, completely made up on the spot, and then cut and chopped. It's also the only one that doesn't feature any guitar overdubs. All the guitar parts are taken from the live thing. Yeah, there was no overdubs on that one, which is unusual for me. And yeah, I think the title stems from an inside joke amongst us. I think maybe it's the sentiment at the end, yeah. and that kind of outro, the sort of chorusy outro bit, I thought it was quite powerful.
Yeah, and I'd also had, because when Marty was talking about having the bookended tracks, when we'd been talking about the album, I'd suggest the idea of having, so at the beginning and at the end, you can hear Morse code, and it's spelling out repairs. And I don't know if it was maybe that I thought that Morse code would sound really cool at the end of that track, possibly, yeah. But...
And I think it works really well, that we landed on it for a reason. Yeah. Kia ora, I'm Martin.
Kia ora, I'm Nicola. We're Perform Repairs, and you're listening to Totally Wired on BFM.